Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Death in slow motion. That is life for women and girls in Afghanistan under the Taliban. So says a new report from Amnesty International. It details what the group calls a suffocating crackdown: detentions, torture, forced marriages. Nicolette Waldman is a co-author of this report, and she's a researcher at Amnesty International. Welcome.
Hello.
Your report was wide-ranging. Can I first ask you about women in the workplace? There had been a surge, I gather, in working women the last few years. Now, as the Taliban has returned to rule in Afghanistan, what does it look like? Are women being fired, told to stay at home?
Women across the country have been prevented from working. So women who were working in government positions have mostly been sent home, with the exception of a few sectors. And then women who are working in the private sector, almost all of the women working in high-level positions have been dismissed. And it seems like the Taliban has a policy of, if a woman is the only one that can do a job and a man cannot do her job, she might be allowed to keep working. But if not, she'll be replaced by a man. But yeah, what we saw is women being harassed in their jobs, in the medical sector, not being allowed to speak with male colleagues, being forced to wear clothing that restricted their ability to do their jobs, and just so many restrictions that it's leading many women to either quit or stop working.
And what about women and girls in school?
Yeah, I mean, Afghanistan continues to be the only country in the world where girls cannot go to secondary school. But then we also looked at the university level. And what we're seeing is that there's so much ongoing harassment by Taliban members, and then also these many restrictions that are causing women to not be able to give presentations in class, not talk to male professors. They're not feeling safe and comfortable at school.
So it sounds like in some cases there's an absolute ban. In other cases, life is made so miserable for women in the classroom, they just decide it's not worth it.
That's exactly it. And it's this kind of chilling effect, and the way that the restrictions work together in almost a spider web that is trapping women and girls, so that even if they perhaps are, they might have the money perhaps to go to university, many students don't, but if they might have that money, then they're not able to travel without a male guardian.
Which takes us to this horrific category of forced marriage. I wonder if you can talk a little bit about one case I read about of a woman who said she was forced to marry off her 13-year-old daughter for something like $600?
Yeah, around 670 U.S. dollars. She was forced to sell her daughter to marriage with a 30-year-old neighbor. And when we asked kind of how she felt about that, she said she felt actually quite relieved because she wouldn't have to worry that that daughter wouldn't have enough to eat. But she said she had a 10-year-old daughter that actually she was very strongly considering forcing into marriage as well, because in her area, in her province, all of the secondary schools were closed. And she said, you know, I'd really had high hopes for this daughter. She'd gone all the way to fifth grade. But because of this closure of schools, she was saying, if that continues, I'll have to marry her off.
Yeah. Now, you and your team, I gather, went to Afghanistan to do a lot of these interviews. Mm-hmm. Did you sense an unpredictability, a fear that women can be pulled over, detained, you know, for any moment, for anything? There's this all-purpose charge of moral corruption, which seems like it could wrap in a whole host of things.
Women and girls have actually been swept up in arrests for moral corruption, which is a term used by the Taliban. What prison guards told us was that moral corruption usually meant women being outside the home without a male guardian, and that they're actually being swept up in arrests, put into detention centers, and there they're facing really terrible conditions as well as torture. So just to leave your home, you risk going into prison and then being stigmatized for life.
Nicolette, what do you want this report to do? What are you asking governments to do in response?
So Afghanistan is in the midst of a really dire humanitarian and economic crisis, and that's why we're calling for tools that might influence the Taliban without harming the Afghan people. So making sure that if there's a province where girls can go to secondary school, that province is given humanitarian, you know, is given the funding for school. So kind of rewarding good practices and really working with UN agencies, NGOs on the ground to create a plan that ensures the aid is getting to the people who need it most.
That's Nicolette Waldman of Amnesty International. Nicolette, thanks so much for the time.
Thank you.